EMP for today. Let's read from the word first. It's Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. So give you a moment to go there. Luke 10, 38. So as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. And then also 1 Peter 2, 9. So 1 Peter 2, 9. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Amen. We'll pray. Lord, we just we come before you this morning, and we humble ourselves before you. We ask that you will speak to us through your word. I ask that you will open up our hearts, open up our ears, so that we can receive everything that you want to download to us today. We thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is something that had been on my heart. I was supposed to share a few weeks, but then Brother Byung had a heart to share, and so this message is a little bit delayed, but I still feel it's the right message, and it just comes out of my own walk. And you know, whenever I come here, I'm just very open. I was repenting about something lately, and one of it was that I was so focused. I'm so focused sometimes on the doing of things, on the doing of the ministry, that I often forget that the main thing is that we are called to be worshipers. So, and perhaps some of you can maybe feel the same way, but sometimes, look, I'll be honest with you, I have this wrong mentality that I can be late to church, and of course I repent, and thankfully I haven't been late to church recently, but I think I can be late to church, because, you know, missing pre-service prayer or missing a few minutes of worship, that's not the meat of the service. The meat of the service is, you know, the sermon. And as long as I come to receive that, then hey, you know, if I'm 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, it's okay. And I guess as I was in my quiet time, the Lord was really convicting me of this, because actually prayer and worship collectively, being able to come together and minister to God, that is the number one thing. I mean, the teaching of the word and receiving of the word, that's definitely important. Of course, very important. But isn't for me to shortchange the worship and the prayer, I realized I got it all backwards. And so that's where I'm coming from. I'm just being very open with you. And, you know, I was repenting before the Lord. Lord, I'm so sorry that we have this opportunity to come together as a body to pray for our brothers and sisters before the service, and then being able to come together as a body and collectively worship you, not just with words, but with our heart, our whole soul and spirit, to worship you. And I have degraded that, thinking that it's just singing three or four songs, and I must get through this. And so I was just repenting. And again, I am the chief of, I'm sure I'm one of the chief of the transgressors in this, because I know my heart. So I just wanted to be open, and I wanted to say that, yeah, I've been guilty of this, and I've been sinning. And I don't think worship is an optional thing. I also don't think pre-service should be an optional thing either. That we would come before and entering into a mode of that we would pray for our brothers and sisters, pray for the service that is about to happen. If you are a core member of Solomon's Porch, you should consider this, well, number one, a privilege, that we can lift up our prayers to God like that. But number two, it's not an optional thing. My own personal view. But then that made me think, so why is it that sometimes we get this backwards? I think we all know it in our mind. What is important, what is not important. If you were to tell me, if you were to give me 5 minutes to sit down and think about it, oh yes, of course, prayer is important. Of course, worship is important. But I think sometimes we live life without thinking through things, and so we just get into this mode. So let's go back to Luke 10 here. What distracted Martha? First of all, I have the utmost respect for Martha, and I know that sometimes people seem to say that, oh, she missed out, oh, she was so religious, etc., etc. But, you know, as you know, later in the Gospels, she says one of the most amazing faith statements when after her brother Lazarus is dead, and then the Lord comes to her and with the disciples to, you know, raise him. But before that happens, Martha actually makes this great faith statement. Yes, I know you will, you know, my brother will live when we are all resurrected. And also, Martha is serving here. She is serving. So I don't want to give her short shrift at all. Actually, I highly respect her. She opened up her home to him. There was a large contingent probably with Jesus. So she was running around and trying to do the work. She was trying to do the ministry. But that was the problem, right? Because she was doing the ministry with potentially the wrong root. Because if she was doing the ministry after she had first ministered unto the Lord, I think then her heart would have been in a place where just being in the presence of Jesus would be such a joy, would be such a strength, would be such a wonderful thing, that the ministry would be a natural overflow of that. But here, she's doing the ministry because sometimes circumstances happen. Sometimes we think the work needs to get done. And so she's doing it in the best way she knows how. She's probably a homemaker. You know, she's living with her brother and sister. So the best way she knows how is practicing the gift of hospitality to this large contingent that's come. And that is actually something to be praised, right? But she did it before with the wrong foundation. The heart was so good, but she did it with the wrong foundation. She did it without ministering unto the Lord first, without focusing on the Lord first. And so she makes the statement. She's running around. She's working. She's so busy. She's probably harried. Oh man, like I have to get the bread ready. I have to get the wine ready. I have to get the is the lamb cooking okay? Is it overdone? Is it did we get the dates? Do I have enough dates? Oh, I have to get the servant to pick up more more wine maybe because I look like I'm going to run. I have no idea, but she was probably running around like that. And then she looks at Mary, her sister, and she sees her doing nothing. And so she got upset. But then, do you see what the Lord says? The Lord says, hey, Martha, and I just don't see this as a rebuke. I know I've heard some sermons and they say this is a rebuke. I imagine more like it was this. Martha says, hey, tell her to help me, Jesus. I'm doing all the work. And then the Lord says, Martha, Martha, oh, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Friends, few things are needed. Indeed, only one. If we minister unto the Lord first, if we keep our eyes focused on the Lord first, remember, it's not us that does the ministry. It is not us that do the ministry. It is not us that brings justice to the world. It's not us that's going to get the orphans fed. It's not us that are going to release the women from sexual slavery. I mean, you will be the hands and the feet, but it is not us that can change the world like that. The only one who can redeem this world is Jesus Christ. And when we recognize that, we will know that I am so nothing and He is so everything. Hence, the only thing I can do first is I minister unto the Lord. I pray. One of the key ministries that we can do is prayer. We are all called. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We are called to be worshipers first, priests first. We don't have time because I want to give us a lot of time to really respond today. But if you go back to Exodus, if you go back to Leviticus, what was the first thing that the priest needed to do? The priests, before they did anything else, they had to bring up a guilt offering for themselves first. They needed to minister to God for themselves first. Before they could serve the nation, they had to deal with them and God first. That's really it. That was the message. I just felt the Lord wanted me to share. Especially as house church season is starting, the summer is done, ministries are starting up again. Honestly, even in my heart, there's a few ministries I'm involved with, and I only have a limited amount of time. And honestly, I feel that weight. I feel the busyness. I feel that lack of time. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Chungmin, Chungmin. Few things are needed, or indeed only one. Choose what is better. So I think as we begin the new season of many different ministries again, and the church people come back from summer, yeah, let's just remind ourselves, our first focus, our first focus, is ministering on to the Lord first. And one of the key ways we do that is in our worship and our prayer to God for ourselves first. And that happens in your private place. That happens in your one-to-one relationship with Him. That happens when you come together on time for service, as we come all together and we worship Him, as we pray together before the service, as we prepare our hearts to worship God. And I just want to leave you with this. Remember, you know, in John 3:29, that each of us, and the church as a whole, of course, but each of us, we are, even the males, right? We are the bride of Christ first. We are the bride of Christ first. And just like in a marriage relationship, when we have a child, the number one thing I'm told, I don't have a child yet, but the number one thing is that when you have children, you make sure that you do not let the children be the main focus of your marriage. The main focus of the marriage is still to each other. We are the bride of Christ. Who is our bridegroom? It is not the five different ministries that we might be involved in. It is first and foremost our bridegroom that should be our focus. So that's it. I've been reading. During the response time, I've been reading the autobiography of George Mueller, and I know that every time we've done EG, a lot of sharing is done about George Mueller. But as I read about George Mueller, he penned his own autobiography. I'm just so convicted. Because number one, in case you don't know the history, he, as a young man, George Mueller, he was a sinner. He stole from his father, who was a tax collector. As a 15 or 13 year old, he would steal from his father the tax collection that he had done, and obviously he was out. Even in his teenage years, supposedly, he was out drunk all the time. The night that his mother died, he was out in a tavern getting drunk, and he came back the next day, and he found his mother was dead. So he was quite, quote-unquote, a sinner. And then one day, God touched him just miraculously, and he got on his knees and prayed, and he accepted Jesus. And he became known as this man of prayer. And he felt led by the Lord to lead a simple life, despite coming from a family that was quite wealthy, but also that he would not accept a salary from the church. He first worked as a minister. He would not accept a salary from the church, but he felt like the Lord telling him, the God will provide for all my needs. And then actually, he felt led by the Lord to go on to build many orphanages. They say a million orphans were cared by him. But the amazing thing is, he never sent out a fundraising letter. He actually refused to tell people about his needs. And it was a faith journey. But he would say, sometimes I would have 2 pence or 2 shillings left, and we had like 100,000 kids to feed the next day. But then every time, God miraculously would move someone, would wake up some butcher, or would wake up somebody else to send some money or send some flour or send some meat, and they never went hungry. This happened until he was 90-something when he passed away. from the age of 20-something to until 90-something, he resolved never to ask anyone for money, but that God would always provide for him. And if you read the autobiography, there were times when it was touch and go. Literally, they had nothing. And then, literally, at the last minute, God would have someone knock on the door and give them £5. Give them 2 shillings. Give them, like, I don't even know what that is, but it was like 2 cents or something. And even for poor people, rich people, it would just come. But he said the way that it came was he would just pray. He would just pray. And as he prayed, and sometimes when it looked like God was not going to answer, and it was difficult, but as he prayed, God would always be faithful, and God would always answer. But then as he went through those difficult times of stepping out in faith, that's how his faith grew. So it was such a challenge. It was such a convicting thing. And I just share that because look at this man. People say millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars passed through his hands, and he never sent out a fundraising letter. All he did was minister to God first. He prayed. He relied on the Lord, and the Lord proved faithful, and the money and the sustenance came in at the right time. But more important than that, can you think, out of that testimony and this one man's faith, how many more people were moved? I'm not talking about just to give, but think about it. Even now, I'm talking about him more than 100 years later. And it all just began. Not because he did something or this grand vision that he had. It started because he prayed. He ministered to the Lord first. So as we respond to that, let's just examine our own attitude, our own thinking. Are we putting, well, first of all, actually, even are we even focusing on the worship and the prayer to God? It might not even be ministry. It might just be the other distractions of the world. And are we not putting worshiping and the ministering to God first in our lives? Are we coming to church late because we're thinking, well, the worship and the prayer, that's not really the meat. That's the appetizer. And I can miss the appetizer, you know, I'm on a diet, whatever. So is that number one? Because honestly, and I, again, first, chief, head of the sinner, I'm repenting before you too. I really don't think pre-service prayer and worship is really optional. I think it's key to worshiping God with the right holy and worshipful attitude. So number one, that. Number two, versus ministry and to God and ministry to others, are we potentially putting the cart before the horse? So those two things. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning.